Welcome to Zikud Daf Siman Ram Rabbi Avram Goldar and Tirmer Zechus Chulin Daf Kuf Chaf Hey, the ninth parak Or VaHarotev. The Zikud Zechus Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting Kinyan Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three Dafs are going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states Kulas Hameis regarding a marrow bone from a dead body, Bukulis Hamukdashim, and a marrow bone from a carbon which became Nosar. One who touches them ben Stumim ben Nekuvim Tameh, whether their clothes are punctured is Tameh. Although he cannot touch the marrow inside, the bone of a dead body is itself metami midiraisa, and a bone of noser is metami one's hands midirabanan to discourage kohanim from living over carbon meat. Regarding the marrow bone of navel or sheretz, if they're completely closed, one who touches them is tahor. But if they're punctured even a minimal amount, one who touches them is tameh, even without touching the marrow itself. Since he can touch the marrow by inserting even a hair through the hole, the bone can transmit the marrow's tumah as a shomer. The mission concludes that a sealed bone cannot even convey tuma through masa, karen, because masa is written next to maga, teaching as shabalucho maga balucho masa. That which enters the category of tuma through touching also enters the category of tuma through caring. But that which cannot be matame through maga is also not matame through masa. Point number two, the mission states that the marrow bone of a dead body is matame with maga, implying that it's not matame through mayo, one who forms a roof over it. Accordingly, the bone must have less than a kazayas of flesh. Furthermore, it cannot contain a kazayas moach, marrow inside, because such enclosed tuma is bokas va'ola. It breaks through its covering, meaning the bone, and rises, and would be metame through oil. Finally, the Gemara asks, if moach b'mifnim ma'ola aruch me'bachutz, marrow inside a living creature's bone can regenerate flesh outside the bone, ever ma'al yehi. The bone is considered a full-fledged limb, and should be metame with oil. There are three approaches to this question. The first, Rav Yehuda Breid Rav Chiya says that this Mishnah teaches that inner marrow cannot regenerate outside flesh. The second, Abai disagrees and explains that the Mishnah's case is B'sheshafa, where he scraped away part of the bone so it can no longer regenerate flesh. And the third, Rabbi Yochanan says there's a kazayis hamoch in the bone and it is metame with oil. This is included in the Mishnah's term nogea, touching. And point number three, Rabbi Yossi says, Chavilei mita v'srigei chalonos, the interlaced ropes of a bed and the interlaced bars of a window can form a chetzitza between a lower and upper floor. Thus, if a mace is on the lower floor and someone on the upper floor touches the space opposite the holes in the meshwork, he remains tahor. However, if the ropes were spread out in the air over a mace, one who touches a space opposite the holes becomes tamei through ohel, because the ropes do not form a chetzitza between the floors when they are not part of the structure. Rava maintains that if the ropes were spread within a tefach above the mace, it would be tantamount to mace b'ksuso, a body in its garment, which transmits tumah with ohel. Here too, even placing one's hands opposite the ropes themselves should make him tameh through ohel. Rather, the ropes must be spread more than a tefach above the mace. Abai disagrees and says that even if the ropes are within a tefach of the mace, they are different from a mace's garment. Mace b'ksuso mevatale. Regarding a body in its garment, he designates the garment for the body, whereas he's not mevat the rope suspended above the body. So once again, the three points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Kulis hameis, regarding a marrow bone from a dead body, but kulis hamukdashim, and a marrow bone from a carbon which becomes nosar, one who touches them, ben stumim ben nukuvim tame, whether they are closed or punctured, is tame. Although he cannot touch the marrow inside, the bone of a dead body is itself metame midiraisa, and a bone of noser is metame one's hands midirabanan to discourage kohanim from living over carbon meat. Regarding the marrow bone of navel or sheretz, if they're completely closed, one who touches them is tahor. But if they're punctured even a minimal amount, one who touches them is tame, even without touching the marrow itself. Since he can touch the marrow by inserting even a hair through the hole, the bone can transmit the marrow's tuma as a shomer. The mission concludes that a sealed bone cannot even convey tumah through masa, caring, because masa is written next to maga, teaching as shabalucho maga balucho masa. That which enters the category of tumah through touching also enters the category of tumah through caring, but that which cannot be matame through maga is also not matame through masa. Point number two, the Mishnah states that the marrow bone of a dead body is matame with maga, implying that it's not matame through mayo, one who forms a roof over it. Accordingly, the bone must have less than a kazayas of flesh. Furthermore, it cannot contain a kazayas moach, marrow inside, because such enclosed tuma is bokas va'ola. It breaks through its covering, meaning the bone, and rises, and would be metame through oil. Finally, the Gemara asks, if moach b'mifnim ma'ola aruch me'bachutz, marrow inside a living creature's bone can regenerate flesh outside the bone, ever ma'al yehi. The bone is considered a full-fledged limb, and should be metame with oil. There are three approaches to this question. The first, Rav Yehuda Breid Rav Chiya says that this Mishnah teaches that inner marrow cannot regenerate outside flesh. The second, Abai disagrees and explains that the Mishnah's case is b'sheshafa, where he scraped away part of the bone so it can no longer regenerate flesh. And the third, Rabbi Yochanan says there's a kazai samoch in the bone, and it is metame with oil. This is included in the Mishnah's term nogea, touching. And point number three, Rabbi Yossi says, Chavilei mita v'sirigei chalonos, the interlaced ropes of a bed and the interlaced bars of a window can form a chetzitza between a lower and upper floor. Thus, if a mace is on the lower floor and someone on the upper floor touches the space opposite the holes in the meshwork, he remains tahor. However, if the ropes were spread out in the air over a mace, one who touches a space opposite the holes becomes tummy through ohel, because the ropes do not form a chetzitza between the floors when they are not part of the structure. Rava maintains that if the ropes were spread within a tefach above the mace, it would be tantamount to mace b'ksuso, a body in its garment, which transmits tumah with ohel. Here too, even placing one's hands opposite the ropes themselves should make him tummy through ohel. Rather, the ropes must be spread more than a tefach above the mace. Abai disagrees and says that even if the ropes are within a tefach of the mace, they are different from a mace's garment. Mace b'ksuso mevatale. Regarding a body in its garment, he designates the garment for the body, whereas he's not mevatale the ropes suspended above the body. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Chaf Hey, and this Siman was suggested to us by Kobe Melkin. He suggested that Kuf Chaf Hey is $1.25, $1.25. So here goes. When the customer tried to bargain the peddler selling bone marrow keychains to lower than $1.25 because they're matame by touching them, and the peddler argued back that at least they're not matame, but oh well. Another customer pointed out that they are already tame be'ol because they're above a mace separated by rope meshwork that's within a tefach of the body. Once again, slow motion. When the customer tried to bargain the peddler selling bone marrow keychains to lower than $1.25, $1.25? That must run duff. Kufraf hey! When the customer tried to bargain the peddler selling bone marrow keychains to lower than $1.25 because they're matami by touching them, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Kuisam meis, regarding a marrow bone from a dead body, but kuisam mukdashim, and a marrow bone from a carbon which became noser, one who touches them, whether they're closed or punctured, is tame. Although he cannot touch the marrow inside, the bone of a dead body is itself matame, midaraisa. So when the customer tried to bargain the peddler selling bone marrow keychains to lower than $1.25 because they're matame by touching them, and the peddler argued back that at least they're not matame by oel, which reminds us, the Mishnah states that the marrow bone of a dead body is matame with maga, implying that it's not matame through mayo, one who forms a roof over it. Accordingly, the bone must have less than a kazais of flesh. Furthermore, it cannot contain a kazais of moach, marrow inside, because such enclosed tuma is bokas ba'ola. It breaks through its covering, meaning the bone, and rises, and would be matame through ohel. So when the customer tried to bargain the peddler selling bone marrow keychains to lower than $1.25 because they're matame by touching them, and the peddler argued back that at least they're not matame ba'ohel, another customer pointed out that they are already tame ba'ohel because they're above a mace separated by rope meshwork that's within a tefach of the body, which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi says, Chavilei mita v'sirigei chalonos, the interlaced ropes of a bed and the interlaced bars of a window can form a chetzitza between a lower and upper floor. Thus, if a mace is on the lower floor and someone on the upper floor touches a space opposite the holes in the meshwork, he remains tahor. However, if the ropes were spread out in the air over a mace, one who touches a space opposite the holes becomes tamei through oil because the ropes do not form a chetzitza between the floors when they are not part of the structure. So once again, when the customer tried to bargain the peddler selling bone marrow keychains to lower than $1.25 because they are matame by touching them, and the peddler argued back that at least they're not matame ba'ol, another customer pointed out that they're already tame ba'ol because they're above a mace separated by a rope meshwork that's within a tefach of the body. All right, so now it's time for a four ba'ba chazara. Daf Kuf Chafav. So the Siman Daf Kuf Chafav is a cocoa bean farmer. So here goes. The cocoa bean farmer, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, cocoa. The cocoa bean farmer, who was in the middle of shechting a non-Kosher animal for his non-Jewish worker, jumped back when his son spilled cocoa on the convulsing creature, making it susceptible to Tumas Ocholin, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yad Zayin Amud Beis taught that if a Jew shechs a non-Kosher animal for an idolater, umefarkasas, and is still convulsing, it's already considered food and is susceptible to Tumas Ocholin, but is not a nevela until it actually dies. The same applies when a Gentile shechs a Kosher animal. Rabbi Yossi says that sometimes teach that for these animals to become susceptible to tuma, tsrichim achshava, they require intent for an idolater to eat them while they're still alive, v'hekshamayim m'makam acher, and preparation by water from another source. So the cocoa bean farmer, who was in the middle of shechting a non-kosher animal for his non-Jewish worker, jumped back when his son spilled cocoa on the convulsing creature, making it susceptible to tumas ochlin, and was shocked that the worker took off an aver, which would be considered aver min achai, even after Shechita, which reminds us, the Gemara states that if a Jew shechted two simanim, or most of them, of a non-kosher animal for an idolater and is still convulsing, Chizkiah says, Ein ala evarim, it's no longer subject to the prohibition against Eivar Min Achai since it was shechted. Rabbi Yochanan, however, says it is subject to Eivar Min Achai since Shechita does not permit the non-kosher animal for consumption. So the cocoa bean farmer, who was in the middle of shechting a non-kosher animal for his non-Jewish worker, jumped back when his son spilled cocoa on the convulsing creature, making it susceptible to tumas ochlin, and was shocked that the worker took off an aver, which would be considered aver min achai, even after shechita, while another worker wondered if the chocolate bars the animal swallowed would be considered tuma balua, which reminds us, Rabbi Zera asked Rabbi Sheshes about a non-kosher animal shechted by a Jew which is still convulsing. What's the halacha regarding whether the animal saved swallowed objects within it from becoming tame? Tower items swallowed by a live animal remain tower if the animal enters the ola of a dead body, whereas items inside a shechted kosher animal, which is considered meat even while convulsing, do become tame. Daf Kuf Chav Beis. So the Siman Daf Kuf Chav Beis is corn on the cob. So here goes. The corn on the cob farmer. Corn on the cob? That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Chav Beis. The corn on the cob farmer who discovered that the soft skin on the hump of his corn fed, never been used camel, was tummy like its meat, which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis taught that the ore, the skin of a nevela, is not tummy as a nevela, meaning it's not considered meat. The next Mishnah states, Eosho Orosen Kipsaron, the skins of the following are considered like their meat and transmit the same tuma the meat transmits because their skins are soft. Human skin, the skin of a domestic pig, Yuda adds the skin of a wild pig, the skin of a tender camel's hump, defined by the Gemara as before it has carried a burden, the skin of a tender calf's head, and the skin of several parts of an animal. So the corn on the cob farmer, who discovered that the soft skin on the hump of his corn-fed, never-been-used camel was tummy, like its meat, was horrified to find a man turning his parents' skins into a corn-themed rug, prompting the rabbinic decree that human skin is tummy, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that human skin is tummy like flesh. Ula says, Devar Torah or Adam Tahor. Biblically, human skin is tahor. The Rabban declared it tummy because of Gezer Shemi Yasa Adam Oroz Aviv Imo Shtichin, a decree lest a person will make the skins of his father and mother into spreads. So the corn on the cob farmer, who discovered that the soft skin on the hump of his corn-fed, never-been-used camel was tummy, like its meat, was horrified to find a man turning his parents' skins into a corn-themed rug, prompting the rabbinic decree that human skin is tummy. While nearby, another worker patched the donkey's ear onto his corn basket, making it tahor, which reminds us, we learned in a braisa, ozen chamor shetlabo kupaso, a donkey's ear, which one patched to his basket, becomes tahor because it loses its status as nevela meat and is considered skin. The Gemara explains that patching flesh to a basket renders it tahor without it being trodden upon because the patching is a nullifying act. Merely spreading it out to be stepped upon, however, is insufficient unless it is actually stepped upon. Daf Kuf Chaf Gimel. So the symbol for Daf Kuf Chaf Gimel is a cash register going ka-ching. So here goes. When the cash register went ka-ching, ka-ching, that must run Daf Kuf Chav Gimel. When the cash register went ka-ching and opened for the owner to put the change in a flask he was making by skinning an animal, which would be a Yad Letuma, until he got past the chest, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, regarding the skinning process of all behemoths and chayos, kosher or non-kosher, small or large, if it's being skinned l'shatiach, for use as a spread, where the hide is first cut lengthwise and then peeled along the animal's sides, the hide can transmit tuma as a yad until kidei achiza. It's sufficient for grasping, but beyond that point, it no longer functions as a yad. If the hide is being skinned l'chemos for use as a flask, where it's peeled back from the neck without being cut, it functions as a yad, ad sheyabsid as a chaza, until he skins the chest, which is the most difficult part of skinning. So when the cash register went ka-ching and opened for the owner to put the change in a flask he was making by skinning an animal, which would be a yad l'tumah until he got past the chest, it ripped his shirt, which he had toiled that day more than halfway down, making a tahor immediately, which reminds us, a Mishnah discusses a tummy talus which one began to tear and states, Kaven Shenikra Rove, once a majority of it is torn, it's no longer considered attached and is tahor. Rav Nachman says this only applies when the talus was immersed in a mikveh that day, but tore it so it would be immediately tahor without waiting for nightfall. Here, since he wasn't concerned about the talus and immersed it, we're confident he'll properly tear its majority without concern for the talus. So when the cash register went ka-ching and opened for the owner to put the change in a flask he was making by skinning an animal, which would be a yad l'tumah until he got past the chest, It ripped his shirt, which he had toveled that day, more than halfway down, making a tahor immediately, which would not have been the halacha had he been wearing his leather apron, which reminds us, Rish Lakish says that only a talus, a cloth garment, becomes tahor when its majority is torn, because it cannot be fully restored even if it's sewn back together. But leather is a strong connection, meaning if one tore the majority of a leather garment, it remains tummy because its remaining connection is strong and it can be sewn back together and restored. Rav Yochanan disagrees and holds that even leather becomes tahor when its majority is torn. Daf Kuf Chaf Dalet. So the simmer Daf Kuf Chaf Dalet is cookie dough. So here goes. The ice cream maker working on the new cookie dough Novella flavor cookie dough, that must be on Daf Kuf Chaf Dalet. The ice cream maker working on the new cookie dough Novella flavor was thrilled that he didn't become tummy from touching a piece of skin with 2F kazesim of Novella attached to it, since he didn't carry it, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if 2.5 zesim of Novella were attached to a hide, Rav Shmuel says, metame b'mas v'lo b'maga. It's metame through carrying, since he carried a full kazais at once, but it's not metame through touching, because the two pieces are touched separately. Rav Akiva says, it's not even metame with masa. So the ice cream maker working on the new cookie dough Novella flavor was thrilled that he didn't become tummy from touching a piece of skin with 2.5 kazesim of Novella attached to it, since he didn't carry it, but was dismayed when he heard that he did become tummy from flipping it over and touching the Novella, because yesh nogeya v'chozer v'nogeya, which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel taught that one who touches 2.5 zesim attached to a hide remains tahor. Bar Pada says this is only if he touched the meat ma'achra, from behind, through the hide. But if he touched the meat directly from in front, yesh nogeya because of a nogeya, there is transmission of tuma through touching and again touching, meaning two simultaneous acts of touching the 2.5 zesim. Rabbi Yochanan says that even if he touched the two pieces directly, Rabbi Shmuel would rule him tahor because he holds ein nogeya because of a nogeya. So the ice cream maker working on the new cookie dough Novella flavor was thrilled that he didn't become tummy from touching a piece of skin with 2.5 kazesim of Novella attached to it, since he didn't carry it, but was dismayed when he heard that he did become tummy from flipping it over and touching the Novella, because yesh nogeya b'chozim nogeya, and was annoyed at his assistant, who pointed out that had he put it on a splinter, he could have carried it around all day with no worry. Which reminds us, Ula said, if one stuck 2.5 zesim on a splinter, even if he carries them back and forth all day, he remains tahor. The pasuk is written, nisa, that which is carried, but is read as nose, one who carries, teaching, being a nose of who denisa b'basachas. We require that one carries Novella and it is carried as one, not in two pieces, each smaller than a kazayas. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one. Which daf do you learn that Ula holds that 2.5 zesim of Novella on a splinter are not metame with masa? That's on daf Kuf Chav Dalet. Good. Number two. Which daf do you discuss tuma from a sealed kulis, a marrow bone? That's on daf Kuf Chav Hey. Good. Number three. Which daf do you discuss what the halacha is of combining two shomrim together? That's on daf Kuf Yutes. Good. Number four. Which daf do you learn that human skin is tamim in the rabbanan to prevent making one's parents' skins into spreads? That's on daf Kuf Chav Beis. Good. Number five. Which daf do you discuss whether a kulis, a marrow bone, can be metame through OL? That's on daf Kuf Chav Hey. Good. Number six. Which daf do you discuss congealed liquid which exudes from the meat, which combines with the meat for the shear to transmit tuma? That's on daf Kuf Chav. Good. Number seven. Which daf do we have a machlokas of ein nogeya v'chozev nogeya? That's on daf Kuf Chav Dalet. Good. Number eight. Which daf do you discuss one becoming tummy due to a rope meshwork within a tefach above a mace? That's on daf Kuf Chav Hey. Good. Number nine. Which daf do we have machlokas of 2.5 zesim attached to a hide can combine for tuma? That's on daf Kuf Chav Dalet. Good. Number 10. Which daf do you learn that a donkey's ear which one patched to his basket becomes tahor because it's a nullifying act? That's on daf Kuf Chav Beis. Excellent. All right, that concludes this pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.